Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as
respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
2, 3, 4. Hey,
nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M. Sunday Sydney.
Oh, yeah, welcome back to it. We call it the happy hour after 3 o'clock. Paul Kent has gone home, so it's the happy hour.
Never gets old.
Right across the Triple M network through Cairns, Townsville, down into the beautiful Whitsundays. Then, of course, the Fraser Coast, Brisbane, beautiful Toowoomba. Then down into northern New South Wales, Coffs, Port Macquarie. I forgot the Goldie, of course, the Goldie. Orange, then down to the Riverina through Wagga, Griffith, and then Newcastle, Central Coast. And, of course, my hometown, the beautiful city of Redfern. Triple M, Sydney. We've got Gordy Tallis, we've got Maroon, we've got James, Australia's little hero, James Hooper. And right now, let's talk about the Rabbitohs' win yesterday over the Titans. The Rabbitohs, 32 points to 12. A game they really never looked like losing, but they got a fair rub of the green, I thought, the Rabbitohs. Gordy.
Yeah, no, look, it was a good performance. Latrell Mitchell was absolutely outstanding. I know that he's been the most spoken about player in the last 12 months, but I really liked the way Latrell played, and that's what he brings to a footy side. He didn't have the 20-odd carries and the 300 metres, but I think it was, what, 3 try assists and 4 line break assists and 10 tackle busts or whatever, and that's what he brings to a footy side. His hands are so silky smooth. He's a class act, and Cody Walker back as well. Mm. But for the Titans, it was a better second half, and I think that they're improving with their effort, but we just had no punch through the middle. You know, South Sydney were really good in defence, and Latrell was the difference. You know, in the first 40 minutes, Latrell was brilliant, and South Sydney's, you know, sleight of hand movement and getting numbers on the Titans, we were poor in defence at times, reading a couple of their set plays, and we paid the price. Latrell made us pay the price.
That little number 14 for the Titans, Gordy, Tanner Boyd. Oh, geez, a little goer.
Yeah, yeah, Tanner Boyd, yeah. And he's a halfback, so slowly but surely we're getting some young kids, and they're playing their best. And I really like Mo, our front rower. Mm. He's got to buy a bar. We just call it Mo's Tavern. Futuoka, he's good, and Jai Arrow's playing, and we all know how tough he is, and he hurt his ribs really bad last week, and playing through pain, and you know, and we could have scored first. The Don went up for a catch and missed it, and then South go, you know, 80-odd metres and score down the other end. So it's a, it was a better performance from the Titans, but South, Maroon, dare I say it, they're starting to hit their straps.
Absolutely. Cody Walker back and Latrell hitting his straps. And this is Latrell talking about the media pressure he has been under this season.
Oh, look, I'm happy. Yeah, not too many things have been going my way the last sort of, 4 or 5 months. But, you know, it's only upon me. Like, you know, I've seen in the media everyone's, you know, got an opinion. And I guess just for myself, it is up to me to change that. And, you know, I'm enjoying myself. I've changed my attitude towards being at home, being around my kids and being a dad and growing up in them areas, which makes me perform and makes me happy off. And, you know, where I can come and do my job and, you know, and enjoy my fucking, yeah, the footy, so.
Yeah, there he is, Latrell, and that's what he's capable of, as Gordy said. That is what he's capable of. Another player that went well yesterday in the back row, another ex-Broncos player. I thought Jaden Sewer had a good game.
Sure. Yeah, Jaden Sewer
big
was
shots
strong,
on Gordy. Jeez, he can whack,
well,
can't he?
Well, do you know what? I was thinking, and, you know, players that are putting their hand up, and this is a guy that, you know, has so much potential but has never really had that breakout season or breakout month of footy. I think yesterday was really big steps to doing that. He was strong. He was strong in the collision, and he wanted to hurt guys in defence, and that's all you can ask. He's a big guy playing big. you know, and he's a chance for Origin if he, you know, if South, you know, make finals and he plays the way he does and, you know, keeps on wanting to rip into people, he's purposely built, isn't he? He's got a great shot in him.
I think the move to shift Cameron Murray from the left edge back in the middle had to happen, and you can see the benefits of that for the Bunnies in the bigger picture now. Anthony's starting to take shape. He has such a quick play the ball, and he's so good off the back of Damien Cook out of dummy half, or conversely setting up a quick play the ball for Damien to try and take advantage of. So that'll help the Bunnies really build their game through that middle third of the field.
All right, I've got an absolute blockbuster on the way too next Saturday, Dragons and Titans. But we'll take a break now and we'll come back and talk about all the rugby league news that matters as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sinbin. Gordon Tallis. And so too, James Tricep Super and Maroon. Of course, when Paul Kent goes, we call this the happy hour. So, boys, you have a drink. We've got one each for you here. What do you feel like? Hoops, a beer or a champagne?
No, I'll just have a...
We'll have a champagne. There you go. And what do you feel like? There you go. There's one for you, Gordy. A couple of beers too. It's happy hour here.
Colada would be nice.
Paul Kent's gone home, so we're doing happy hour. Feel free to join us. It's 3 o'clock. Time to crack one open. And let's talk about what's going on in the world of rugby league, starting with some team news around the place. Luke Thompson will be a boost for the Doggies, but there's been a little bit of a parting swipe from his team in the UK Super League. I wonder what that's all about, Hoops.
I think because they've got the shutdown still in effect over there, but I believe they feel as though the Bulldogs have pulled a little bit of a swifty on them here. So they haven't had to pay a transfer fee to get Luke Thompson out here, which would normally be the circumstances when a player comes out from the UK and they are still contracted over there. So if you look at John Bateman, for example, the Raiders paid a significant, I think it was about $200,000 of a transfer fee because he was still contracted at the time to Wigan. But in relation to Luke Thompson, the Dogs have managed to find a little bit of a loophole to be able to get him out here, and he'll do 28 days in quarantine from the time he leaves the UK. Then he'll arrive here. He'll set up in a hotel in Melbourne. They're talking about transferring that hotel room into a little mini gym setup, probably similar to your garage with the stepper.
Right.
And all those other bits and pieces that you've got.
The tension. I've got the tension bands.
Yeah. I don't think he won't need the he won't need the drone. So you can keep that. Look, he'll be a great acquisition by the time he can get out here and help the Bulldogs forward pack, because there's no question at the moment, you know, Josh Jackson and Dylan Napa, good solid players, but they need some help around them as well. And the fact that they lost, I should have mentioned Adam Elliott too, he's been punching above his weight. The fact that they lost Corey Harawira and Naira at the stage of the season that they did, that was a really harsh blow for the Bulldogs, because last season, he'd really come of age as a player.
Well, Nathan Brown, former rugby league coach Nathan Brown, says this kid is, he first gave him a first grade game, graded him when he was 17 in the UK Super League, played in a grand final over there at 18, and Nathan Brown says he is absolutely going to kill it in the NRL. Of course, we're talking about Luke Thompson. So good news there finally for you Dogs fans. Let's move on to what else we're talking about here. Now, Nene McDonald, I thought his NRL career was done and dusted, but now I'm hearing he's linking, or he has been linked to the Sharks.
He hasn't been linked, he's signed.
Right.
Yep. So John Morris, the head coach down there, suggested that Nene would probably need about 3 weeks before he would be considered for selection in the NRL. He wants to get some conditioning into him. But look, Nene's obviously been a player of some potential for many years now. He was at the St. George Illawarra Dragons. He went up and had a stint with the Cowboys where he went through some really tough injuries and as a result walked away from the game. But Cronulla have got him back and they obviously think they can get him right. They need some outside backs given the fact that they're going to lose Bronson Sherry for a long time.
All right. Well, that's him done. We wish him all the best because, as you said, Hoops, on his day, he's as good as anyone, Nene McDonald. Good size, plenty of pace.
Good player. Good player.
Do you know anything about Bryson Goodwin has apparently been talking to other NRL clubs. Now, of course, he came back from the UK Super League to play for Souths, but we haven't seen him.
He signed at Cronulla as well. So he was part of South's top 30, but because of the COVID shutdown, if you're not in the 17, obviously, you know, you need some injuries or a dip in form to force your way into the squad. Bryson was on the outer to a degree there. So there's an opportunity at Cronulla. They clearly need, they've got spots to fill, and they've been weakened in terms of the outside backs. Matt Moylan's out again today with a soft tissue injury in his hamstring, and it's just been breakdown after breakdown. I've got to say, I feel for Moylan. You know, it's getting to the stage where his career is nearly at the crossroads, and he probably needs to ask himself how seriously and how diligent he wants to be about all elements of his lifestyle. Maybe he's got to make some adjustments in other areas to be able to get his body right, because the way that it just continues to break down, clearly there's something going on.
It was good to see Josh Reynolds get a starting, get back in the West Tigers side. Oh, I can't think of a bloke. He's the loveliest bloke in the world, Josh Reynolds, but he just can't take a trick of late in his personal life, in his business last week with the police. But he's a quality player, and it was a massive turnaround to see him get picked in the first grade again.
If he was playing poker, Josh Reynolds, he couldn't even get dealt a pair of twos, the cards that he's been served lately. And look, I'm really happy for Josh that he was able to clear his name.
Yeah,
In relation to the way that he was catfished and done over and really badly had his name sullied as a result of what that woman decided to try and do to him, and that crazy elaborate. Honestly, you couldn't make that stuff up. It's stranger than fiction. But to Josh's credit, he's always had his head down. He's always tried to continue to rip into his training. He made sure that when he did get an opportunity, if an opportunity presented itself, that he'd grab it with both hands. Mm. And I thought he held his hands up last night against you know, a really committed, tough Canberra Raiders side who were in last year's grand final. He'll be in the side again this week, Josh Reynolds. I think Michael Maguire will stick with him in his number six jumper, and it's a big call because he's had to drop Benji Marshall. But if you look at Benji's numbers, Benji's missed more tackles than any other player in the NRL. Six try causes, seven line break causes as a result of some of his defensive decisions. So Michael Maguire's clearly making a statement there at Concord. He wants to build the Tigers' season around defence, and he wants to change the fabric of the club and what it's existed on for the last 20 years. And so I think he'll stick with Josh Reynolds.
What were you like as a defender in your days as a rugby league? I hear you were a bit of a turnstile. Is that true? Or how did you tackle?
Speak for yourself at the Waterloo Waratahs.
No, I was definitely a turnstile.
Speak for yourself at the Waterloo Waratahs, Anthony.
But what position did you play, Hoops? A lot of people have been asking us. What position?
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
I played rugby union, Anthony. I was an open side breakaway in rugby union.
Rugby union. No wonder you're all over Eddie Jones, the coach in the NRL. And finally, Raiders had to arrive and leave Campbelltown yesterday on the good old-fashioned bus.
Uncle Gus.
On the old Uncle Gus.
Were you driving it?
No, I wasn't driving it.
You've been moonlighting.
Well, in this COVID times.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, absolutely.
You got to do what you got to do. Yes, they did arrive on the Uncle Gus from up to Campbelltown. I feel for the Raiders. Jeez, they've got a hard run in terms of all these games that their home venue is now Campbelltown rather than GIO Stadium in Canberra, and it's tough for them because essentially they're on the road week after week after week, and whether it's fly in and fly out on the same day or whether it's getting the bus, you know, it adds to what's hard enough, which is winning NRL games week to week.
Yeah, and they had a good win last night, but it probably is better, Hoops, from the point of view of at least if they get on the bus, they're not having to factor in fog and delays, and they know they're going to be on the bus for 3 or 4 hours. That's what they do.
How'd you used to go on the bus, Gordy? What would you play a bit of 500 or a bit of euchre?
Yeah, play a bit of euchre, but I used to get a bit of motion sickness. So I always had to sit at the back and look at the middle. So I'd be no good travelling. Like if we were playing and it was a long bus trip, say 40 minutes or something to a game, I actually got really nauseous actually.
Right.
Don't know what I'd be doing with that, but you just got to suck it up and go on. But they're getting to the ground a little bit earlier, aren't they? So they're getting there with plenty of time. So you just got to deal with it, I suppose. Stretching, you know, mate, when you get older, you know, those old blokes, you know, you probably tighten up a lot more. So that's one thing that the Raiders will have to be super careful with is, you know, going there, playing and sitting in a position for 2 or 3 hours on the way home, I think they'd tighten up a fair bit. So, but the sports scientists can finally make their money.
Mm. Well, I'm going to suggest to Ricky, mate, as you suggested to me, and by Jesus, helped me in every aspect of my life, the old magnesium bath.
Oh, how good are they?
Oh, fair dinkum. I feel like a 30-year-old man.
Magnesium bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, you just fill up the bath and chuck a couple of little tablespoons of magnesium in there.
Wow.
You come out of there, you're revitalized, you're
sleep
mentally
like
better.
A baby.
Sleep like a baby, your love life will improve.
You've been doing it after the stepper?
I've been getting off the stepper straight into the magnesium bath. In fact, halfway through the stepper, I say to Miss Portugal, you better get the magnesium on because I'm on fire. Hoops, Scotty Tallis and Marooners, Triple M rocks the footy.
To Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. We are just about done. We've got half an hour to go, and then Dan will be in to call the local derby, the game that's been moved to 4 o'clock this afternoon, Sharks-Dragons. Why has it been moved to 4 o'clock? COVID-19 precaution with Roosters-Dogs. That game has been postponed till tomorrow evening at 7, but you can catch it on the Triple M Network Hoops.
You can, Anthony. Mm-hmm. You can. And we've just got a little bit of late breaking news here. Obviously, these games have been shuffled around and we're going to have the local derby between the Sharkies and the Dragons. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the Bulldogs and the Roosters tomorrow evening now, 7 o'clock, as you just pointed out. But there's some late breaking news on social media. It's lit up like a Christmas tree, in fact, going Burko. Was your nickname once upon a time Texters?
Oh, hang on, who have you been talking to?
Well, it's on social media. Please ask Maroon, the King of Cash, why his nickname once upon a time used to be, before he was the King of Cash, before he was the Redfern Rocket, before he was the Waterloo White Ant, he was Texters. Mm. Why Texters?
It was an old name I had in my early days of radio, through the 90s in some of the more exotic places where I lived, 2NZ in Varel, 2GN Goulburn. They used to call me Texters because I had the colour. But I think it was more of I think they were taking the mickey, if you know what I'm talking about.
So these are the old Sugar Reef days, the old Cardoma Cafe days, the old DCM's nightclub days.
You're going back a long way.
We are, Anthony, covered some individual.
Yeah, well, look, you know, who have you been speaking to? How did this come up?
Social media lead
on. Answer the question.
Ask Anthony, King of Cash.
I answered the question. You have to remember, though, I've been married for 30 years. I've got 2 grown-up kids and 2 grandkids. It's a long time since I've been to the Cardoma Cafe or Sugar Reef or the Taxi Club, where I used to go to the Taxi Club and places that sort of thing, Hellfire. As we welcome into the studio, one of Australia's...
Is it Biblos?
Biblos, yeah, might have been Biblos, yeah. This is Ryan Girdlow. Well, we used to go to a few nightclubs in the Gong when we were both there too, didn't we?
What was your favourite?
Mimos.
There was a time at Mimos when you actually, I think they didn't open until like midnight and you couldn't stand up. You had to sit down, remember that, and they had to give you food on the way in, which was always a bit weird, but great place, Mimos. Have any luck at Mimos, or were you married back in the day?
I was already probably married, mate, so yeah. Okay. Actually, I think I went there once on my own and had a little bit of luck, but it was only luck with myself. I went home on my own and had a little bit of luck with that. Yeah. Well, and then, of course, I used to like
something in your own drink.
And then Waves was the other one in Wollongong.
Waves.
Went to Shelley's once, met Barnsley down there at Shelley's.
Had some great bands at Shelley's in the day, didn't they?
Great times.
Mm. Clooney, what was it?
Oh, Cooney's. Our mate owned it, didn't he? Cooney's.
That was good. Yeah, Baldy had a couple of places too. Yeah. That was a place that I grew up with.
Mm.
Coming through sort of 18, 19, it was called Cousins. Did you ever get to Cousins?
I did. Of course I did.
Cousins. Andrew Farrow had it, Michael Bolt. I think they were cousins. They were related with a couple of other guys. They opened this business and it was a cracking nightclub, and they used to have this place underneath, like you just have to sort of go down the stairs. I used to call it the bomb shelter, and it used to get a little bit loose down in the bomb shelter. They used to serve pints.
Yeah. This is Wollongong news. This is what went on in Wollongong.
This is what he spoke about on Million Maroon for about 6 years.
Yes, this was good fun, good local content. But, of course, Gerds was down there at the time, just turned 18, was a student at Edmund Rice, came out, signed up with the Steelers, and just as soon as the phone rang, could have been anyone, He was on the Bulleye. He was on the Bulleye Pass out of Wollongong to go and play. You just brushed them, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I got a lot of strong ties with. Actually, my parents are up at the moment. They still live down there. My family and that still live down there. Mm. So I'm always in the joint. But they didn't want me. Maroon was the fact of the matter.
Mm.
And they let me go. And well, that was that. I had to move on.
Hey, Gerds, Maroon said, I think, in the first era of our show, maybe the Dragons, they want to unmerge.
Yeah. I've heard, well, apparently there's a little bit of a divide between some of the fans and some of the factions between in the administration down there. I don't know how true that is, but, I mean, you always hear different things about, you know, different franchises when they're struggling. I'd imagine they win a couple of games and it all goes away,
Hoops.
I'm not so sure, but yeah,
what's the issue?
Well, I couldn't see it happening. Like, surely they've come too far down the road now to then all of a sudden disband the joint venture and one club would have to die, like what happened with the Northern Eagles. So I couldn't see.
Well, they can't die because they're together.
That's it.
But you know what I mean? So
they pulled apart the Northern Eagles, didn't they? They pulled apart the Northern Eagles.
Yeah. Mm. No, there are some members and fans who are frustrated with the direction of the club, and there are two factions. You got the St George side, and then you got the Illawarra and the Wincorp side.
Yep.
And so, you know, a number of the fans who are restless about that have started online polls, which Anthony's been all over.
Yeah.
He's crunched the numbers on them earlier and he's thrown it into the conversation.
My poll, which we'll get to very shortly, but it's good to have you here, Gerds, but you've interrupted us actually, mate, but it's lovely to have you anyway.
Apologies.
It's time for Gordy's Story Time with Gordy.
Well, that's back.
Yeah, that's back. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that? You got anything?
Yeah, now Gerds is here. Gerds, you're on the 2000 tour, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm glad I made a big impact.
because you probably went on more than me, but I only went on a couple. But in 2000, when you go over there, they try to obviously get you to go and meet someone famous, and then we were playing at Twickenham, and it was the first game of the World Cup over there, and we're playing England.
Mm-hmm.
So through the week, we went to Twickenham to meet Prince Andrew. He was coming, and he had a charity. I think it was a Green Spot charity. I don't know what it was, but it must have been underprivileged kids or food or something like that.
Mm.
So we're there, and he got caught in traffic, and we're bored as anything, and me being a young skinny kid from Townsville, the Royals didn't mean too much to me because they're not from North Queensland. So.
Yeah.
But we're there and we're waiting to meet this guy, and then he rocks up and, you know, they go through the protocol, you know, don't put your hand out. If he talks to you, you answer him back, yes, Your Honour, and all that kind of stuff. And it was really serious. And then we're getting there, and because we waited about probably an hour and a half, 2 hours for him to come, he got caught in traffic and all this, he's got there. And one of the players that we're with asked him a question. And you're not supposed to ask him a question. It's supposed to come through our captain, Brad Fittler. And one of the players goes, "Hey, Andy." And at the time, you got to remember, I reckon William might have been about 18 or 19, and there was reports that he might have been having a fling with Britney Spears.
So he
was big, and one of our blokes went on and goes, "Hey, Andy, how you going?" So for one, you're not supposed to talk to him until he talks to you. And I think Prince Andrew might have been a little bit better. "Hey, Andy, has Will and Brittany got it on or what?" And then Andy, with a touch of class he's got, he goes, "Would you tell your uncle every person that you met with?" And it was actually pretty cool. So that's my story for this week. Calling one of the Royals, Andy, and he was a pretty good fella, actually, but he's in trouble, so we probably...
Let's leave it there.
All right, boys. Well, of course, the big game this afternoon, 4 o'clock. It's the Sharkies and the Dragons.
Here's some more mail out of social media as well, Anthony. Maroon used to do his best work. He was captain coach at the old Randy Wicks nightclub owned by the great Peter Tunks.
Yeah, Tunksy. Yes, well, that was the good old days too when you'd be drinking the 80-cent schooners down at the Randwick Rugby Club, all up into a Legion cab up to Randy Wicks where you'd queue up halfway down the street and you might get in, you might not. You know, just
tell
do
me
your
this,
best.
When did Randy Wicks open?
Well, it was open when I was in year 12, and that was 1983.
Right, because I don't reckon it's had a facelift since then. But when I was coaching at Sayhouse, I used to have a beer at the Coaching Horses sometimes.
Yeah. My young bloke, Jimmy Maroon, works there.
Yeah, and the next minute was like, "Hey, Gordy, let's go to this place," and it was Randy Wicks. and you knock on the door. It's like out of the 80s movies. A little slide comes open and they let you in. And old Beryl and Beverly and all the Marines,
Blender.
Old Sheila's are in there. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Ah, dear, oh dear. Let's take a break and we'll come back with
take
more.
Take it out, Anthony,
as
for
Triple
me.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, at Triple M underscore NRL, well, we've just been talking about Randy Wicks, a known nightclub in the Sydney suburb of Randwick, and, of course, the great Coach and Horses Hotel. So we've heard from the boss of the Coach and Horses that says, nice to hear from you guys. They're listening to us at the Coach and Horses. Thank you, Marty Guest. And also, my old mate Woody, who is Woodsy, who's been just informing Woodsy from Botany that the Randy Wicks establishment opened in 1972. So there you go. There's a
got
little bit of
miles on the clock.
Absolutely,
47 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm. So maybe that's where your mums used to hang out back in the early 70s. But that's something for you to take up with them, I think.
Yeah.
Now, leaving that all right there. This game this afternoon, Ryan Girdler, James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon will catch up with Reedy very shortly. Let me just go through the changes before I ask you who you think's going to win this one and why. St. George Illawarra, Matt Dufty will start at fullback. Corey Norman will start at 5'8". Trent Merrin will start at lock. James Graham will start on the bench and Ben Hunt will start on the bench too. Cronulla, Will Kennedy will start at fullback. Toby Rudolph will start in the front row, or the second row, I beg your pardon. No, I beg your pardon, at lock.
Lock.
At lock. Toby Rudolph will start at lock. So, boys, who wins this one? They're both desperate for a win. Who do you think, Gerds?
Well, I give it's the local derby. I give the Dragons a little bit of hope today. I like some of the changes. I think, you know, Benny Hunt moving back to the bench tells me that he's probably going to spend some time at dummy half, which I think will probably suit his game and probably takes just a little bit of pressure off because it's something that he obviously just hasn't been handling over the last couple of weeks. Dufty at the back, you know, I think just at some point the Dragons just need to pick a fullback, let him know he's a fullback and allow someone to spend some time there because, you know, chopping and changing on a weekly basis just doesn't build confidence. And, you know, if you're always playing with the axe hanging over your head, you know, it stifles the way that you play. You know, if you're going to make an error, at least do it at 100%, but don't be fearful that you're going to be dropped next week because of it. Mm. I think there needs to be a little bit of stability around for some of these players so that they can really settle into their role. Obviously, James Graham's a funny one. Like, we were at that game. We called the Dragons last week, and he just gave absolutely everything, like he does every week, for the first 15, 20 minutes, then went on the bench and basically just screamed at the team. You know, he's so passionate, and for the next 30 minutes until he got another opportunity to go back out there. Now, he goes back to the bench, and they bring in Trent Merrin. Now, whether that's going to shake things up a little bit for the Dragons, I'm not too sure. Trent's probably got better footwork at this point at the line. Needs to come out and be super aggressive because he's taking on a pretty well-established Sharks pack with three internationals in Fifita, Woods and Graham. Fifita in his first game back, obviously, from round two, so he wasn't part of their last couple of games. So he might be a bit short of a run. But the other guys were pretty good last week and had a good victory and will come off that with some confidence.
Hoops.
Yeah, I think it'll be an arm wrestle, as they always are generally between these two local derby style of rivals. But I'm leaning towards Cronulla just based on the Dragons got the weight of the world on their shoulders at the moment. And as much as I applaud the changes that Mary has made, I still don't think he's got enough youth in the side. And I reckon there's too much indecision around players like Gerds just pointed out. You can't chop and change the fullback every week. So he started with Zach Lomax. He got one game. Then we went Dufty. Then we switched to Corey Norman. Now we're back to Dufty. That sort of instability, I don't think that's great in key positions. I reckon we should see more out of the rookie number seven, Adam Clune, for the Dragons this game. He didn't get a whole lot of opportunity against the Bulldogs, but you'd like to see him take greater control this time around. Look, it's a massive afternoon for Corey Norman. If he wants to hold on to his place in the Dragons NRL team, then he needs to find a way to get them victory.
Okay, it's Sharks-Dragons on air in just over 15 minutes here as Triple M rocks the footy. Gordon, tell us your thoughts on this game.
Pretty much what everybody has said then, but I think it's Corey Norman's team. Before the Dragons, there was so many different cooks. No one knew who the boss was, but now it is definitely Corey Norman's team. They got some enthusiasm and some experience coming off the bench. I'm going to give, you know, I'm going to tip the Dragons in an upset. I think it's got to be the best. And if they do care about their coach and they care about their careers, this is the moment for them. The line in the sand has been drawn, and I think that was last week. And I think that there's no more excuses, and not for the coach because the board has come out and backed him. For how long, we don't know, but the players now need to have a real good look at themselves.
All right, boys, let me bring in Brent Reed, who is our man on the sideline, thanks to Harvey Norman, for this game this afternoon. Reedy, good to catch up with you, mate. What's the atmosphere like? How do you see this one?
Well, it's not much atmosphere, Maroon.
Oh, Maroon, you're out.
No, actually, you fought.
It's a surprising, Maroon, that those cardboard cutouts that energy that a normal crowd does.
You're just showing your ignorance and how underprepared you are. There is actually some people at the ground this afternoon. So
there's a handful in corporate boxes.
Hang on, mate. That's right. There's an atmosphere there. You never help me, mate. You fair dinkum, Reedy. Say, what were you saying, mate? I'm sorry you got interrupted by these three bullies.
I can see the 140 people on the other side of the field.
Okay. They look fine. All right, okay. They look fine. Well, you're going to get it now yourself.
I've got to say it's a beautiful day down here. The slight breeze, but the sun, you know, there's not a cloud in the sky. The surface looks fantastic. And it's a day for the Dragons to stand up, I think. And, you know, he's made the changes, Mary. He's got to hope it has a desired effect or the walls will keep closing in on him.
Mm. I wonder how much the walls would close in. Someone's got to ask this question. If they get flogged today.
Quickly.
Well, it's almost, well, you're right, very, very quickly. Mm. Because I think they've got the Gold Coast next week. I could be wrong there. But the next 2 weeks are two games they probably should win or at least perform well in. And, you know, if they don't perform well, look, I think, to be honest, I said it yesterday, I think the decision's already been made.
Yes.
I think it's just a matter of time. And, you know, today, regardless of what happens, I don't think Mary will be the coach next year anyway.
Well, this is something we discussed earlier in the show, boys, is once you start talking about giving a coach two games, three games, four games, six games till the end of the year, once that talk starts, my experience has been that's the end of the bloke.
Never a good thing, Anthony. Once you start to get that much noise around a club and around the head coach, as Reedy touched on, the walls have been closing in virtually for the entire season now. A couple of disappointing results prior to the COVID shutdown, and then a couple of inept and embarrassing performances the last 2 weeks against opposition that most teams believe the Dragons should have beaten, the Warriors up at the Central Coast, and then last week against the Bulldogs on the Queen's Monday birthday. So, look, if they lose to Cronulla today, I'm with Reedy. I tend to think that the Dragons' power breakers have already made this call. Mm. After they have this game and then the Gold Coast Titans, it becomes Mount Everest. They've got the Roosters, Melbourne. It becomes a really tough, hard draw. So, I just think Mary's got to stay of execution for the next couple of weeks, but I think beyond that, the decision has been made.
Okay, boys, before we move on to that game, let me just get a tip off everybody again, Gerds.
I'm going to go the Sharks. I think they've just got, you know, they've got some skill in areas that I think will expose the Dragons' attitude in defence.
Hoops?
Yeah, I'm going Cronulla as well. I think just too much class for the likes of Wade Graham, Ramian and Fifita back into the team.
Gordy?
Dragons in an upset.
Ooh, and Reedy?
I'm going to go with Gordy. I think the Dragons might get them today.
Okay, Reedy, stay there for Harvey Norman, because what we'll quickly do now is have a look at this game that's been postponed from today. We'll play it tomorrow night at Bankwest Stadium, and Triple M will call that game for you. And once again, it's another important one for one of the coaches involved in Dean Pay, but by geez, he's got an uphill battle here, Hoops. The Doggies up against the Roosters.
Yeah, I think they're $7 at the moment, the Bulldogs in the head-to-head market, so that gives you an indication about what chance the bookmakers believe that they are. Look, it'd be the upset of the season. If the Bulldogs can somehow orchestrate an upset over the Chooks, especially since the Chooks have returned to form, since the COVID shutdown has ceased, it'd be a miracle.
I thought they were pretty good last week, the Dogs, getting Kieran Foran back and, a little bit of consistency in their key areas on the field and played a really good style of football. Obviously, the Dragons, I thought, put up a fair bit of resistance in the first 20, 25 minutes, but they were clinical, the Doggies, and they're always there and abouts, and I don't think they'll be a pushover, but, yeah, I think class at the end of the day with the Roosters. They were relentless last week and put on absolute clinic, as we all saw. They're going to be hard to contain, but I think the Dogs will push them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, if you miss what happened there, that game's been postponed. A COVID-19 precaution. Dogs Roosters will now be played tomorrow evening at 7, bringing this game Sharks Dragons forward. Dan's going to call that one for you in about 10 minutes' time.
What sort of atmosphere will be there tomorrow night?
Oh, I see. See?
Buzz McNamara, the one-time general manager of Triple M Austereo Network, has been in touch saying, Anthony Maroon, that is your best ever.
Best ever.
Yeah. That you've been awarded the Maroon and Molly Encouragement Award for that performance about the atmosphere at the crowd.
And listen, what I would do if I was you, Hoops, this is just a suggestion. While you're here working for Triple M, worry a little bit less of what your colleagues at Fox are doing. How about that? Gordy, who do you like in this game?
Mate, you can't go past the Roosters.
All righty, okay.
Too good.
And look, before we go back to you, Hoops, the poll for today has ended 50-50. The poll is 50-50. The poll was, do you think Eddie Jones would succeed as an NRL coach? I said no. Hoops said no. Did you say no, Hoops?
I think I said yes.
And the poll has ended 50-50. I was only kidding about that. I know Fox is your... I was only kidding there, Hoops. So
don't, all good, mate.
Don't king hit me when I walk out of here. I was only kidding.
Hey, Maroon, you're that jealous. When he did the cross,
yep.
You walked past him.
I did.
So you could get yourself on TV.
I know, I did, yes.
And that's the first time you've been on TV without walking out of a court.
So if you...
without walking out of a court.
And look, guys, something like, just for a little bit of lighthearted fun before we end, just to give people a good laugh in the Illawarra, we were talking about Wollongong before, we've been emailed by Brett Rodwell, the bloke that played 37 seconds for New South Wales in a State of Origin game. And Brett Rodwell said he'll help out with the coach at the Dragons. So that's a good laugh for everybody to have there. And nice to know you're listening, Rodwell. Well, that's just about it for us. But remember, we will be here tomorrow night to call that game for you, you loyal Doggies and Rooster supporters.
What's in those gummy bears you're eating?
Mate, what's in those gummy bears?
What do you mean Rodwell played? He was a Steelers.
Steelers legend.
Yes, but he's a... Why 37 seconds in an Origin?
He did. He played 37 seconds.
And what happened to him?
He hurt his knee or his foot or something.
It's 37 seconds more than you and I, Anthony, so don't go putting the slipper in to steal his royalty.
Hey, it doesn't matter what I say, you'll take the other person's. Here's Dan Ganane.
Hello, everyone.
Great call on Fox yesterday, mate.
Thank you, but can I just say, I spent a good half an hour today pondering, what would happen if you dropped a kangaroo into Africa? That's a really good question, and I think it's a reality show. Yeah.
Well, dropping a kangaroo into Africa.
That was Gordon's idea. Who would survive? Mm. You put a kangaroo up against the lions and the cheetahs. And
well, there's a lot of them, mate. The lions would be like that. The roos would be off.
Yeah. I tell you what. Dan, you're calling this one this afternoon?
Genius. Yes, Dragon. What game are we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
They haven't called that one off yet.
Sharks, Dragons. Who do you like, mate?
I like 6 o'clock when it's over. No. Dragons will show something today.
You reckon?
I reckon Dragons might show something.
Mm-hmm. Dan's if a Dragons, man.
If they don't, we may have another emergency board meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Well, Dan's calling the game, and Gerds joins him at 4 o'clock for that one, and so too Wendell Saylor. Hoops, that's about it. We'll catch you on Fox League.
Thanks, Maroon.
And Gerds, we'll see you next week. Gordy Tallis, have a great call. We'll see you on Fox League as well. That's it from all of us. Thanks so much to our sponsors, the Mitsubishi Triton, because you just cannot frighten a Triton.
Three Dally M's for you, Anthony. 3, 2, and 1. All the votes sewn up.
Maccas and so to Ream. Install a Ream. As Triple M rocks, the footy.
The Ream hot water. Triple M rocks footy.